Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting. Good morning, and welcome to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, this fella doing the talking and probably annoying you, and we have got ourselves another Happy Hour show today. That's what we do, by the way. If you haven't caught this show before in the past, it's Jonna Spilbor. Yes, it's Jonna Spilbor. It's Carol Pesci. It's this dude who annoys people. And then we talk to people who hopefully will not annoy you and teach you stuff. Kind of like Katie Krimmer for today.
Very good. And I am very excited to talk to today's guest for a couple of reasons. And the main one being she's a potty mouth who wrote a book with a great...
Love a good potty mouth.
I love it. Because she's like us. You know, I've been listening to her book, and her book is called. Okay, so we can't say the first word of her book, but the equivalent would be crap. So her book is called "Crap" in air quotes. I say to myself, 40 ways to ditch the negative self talk that's dragging you down. But she doesn't use the word crap. You know, you guys get it.
Hold on. Let me think.
Right.
We need the Oh, I got it now. Okay, cool. Keep going. Okay,
all right, good. And she, you know, she's smart as a whip. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She's written this book. I am midway through the audio version, and she talks like us, which is one of the things I love about it. So we're going to be speaking with Katie Krimmer a little later on in the show.
All right. That sounds good. So are we just going to get straight to that, or are we going to do some other talking and stuff, try to fill time?
Oh, yeah. Let's kill some time. Let's kill, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes or so.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. What kind of drama you got going on?
So you know what? I don't. No. Other than the drama from this morning. So I don't have a lot of I was going to change things up today. And instead of talking about drama per se, something kind of funny happened. I happened upon a funny article about a condition that I think I have.
And
there's a surprise. You came across something that suddenly struck you as being afflicting of you. Okay.
Oh, I might have that.
I know. This is different, Carol. This is, we got to sit back and take notes here. Keep going.
I do. I think I might have it. And so here's the thing. This condition that I have, I didn't even know was a condition, but apparently it is. And the good news is like, it's not deadly. So that's helpful.
Yeah, no, okay. It is. And that's a change of pace.
That is a change of pace. So I'll tell you what it is. And I didn't know that it was a thing. So apparently there is a psychological condition that is described by people who have a compulsive urge to redecorate. And I have that urge. I have that urge a lot. And not just like, it's not just, I have an urge to move all of my furniture around. It can be a little bit subtle. It's like the urge to change up your decor, move furniture, install new light. Like, I have that urge. I just sometimes have to, suppress it. But they describe, so apparently it's a thing. I mean, I bet you there's a lot of people that have this condition, but there's five psychological reasons behind it.
Before you give us the reasons behind it, if you could help, because I like switching things up periodically.
Yeah.
What makes it a condition? How do you know when it goes from desire to switch things up to a named condition?
It's probably because of rampant capitalism, right? And marketing is what I'm guessing. Right?
How do you know you have an issue?
Yeah. What's requiring you to spend money on this?
And I don't even know if it's all about spending money, And I can go if I sure I think we can figure it out if I go through the reasons, because this is something that psychologists have explained. So that's a really good question. Like, what goes from just normal, oh, let me change out this candle holder, right? To, uh-oh, I have some form of OCD, right? I mean,
Okay.
that would be the difference.
All
So
right.
apparently, okay, I'll go through and we'll see if we can figure this out together, because they are saying that it is a form of obsessive compulsive disorder. And here's what it's described as. Number one, the reason behind it is you could have a quote desire for control, and changing up your environment gives you a sense of control and agency, whether it's rearranging a room or buying new decor. While that might seem normal, it allows people to quote shape something tangible in their life. So they don't really describe like what would make that normal to not normal, right? I mean, it doesn't say.
Right, exactly. That was my question.
So then the second reason why people might have this affliction is to quote reclaim space. So they say people with this affliction have an urge to redecorate when they're trying to make a home feel authentically theirs. And you know what I see that? Like, so not just me. Like, I think I see that kind of a lot when people have made a big change, like they got divorced, right? And maybe they kick the husband out or they kick the wife out, and now the home still feels like, all those horrible marriage memories.
Right,
So
but my question is, in that particular case or cases that are similar, isn't that just like normal and not a syndrome? Isn't that just
exactly my point. I don't
yeah,
understand.
I it's I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't understand why everything suddenly becomes a syndrome and it becomes something, oh my God, I've got that. No, he was an ass, he moved out and I didn't like his stuff. You know, so
I know. I would agree with that. The only thing the psychologists say is that if you're doing that, if you have a need to reclaim your space, you need to look to the inner emotions that are driving that to, I guess, get over the problem that you need to reclaim. Like, I don't see it as a problem. This could be an affliction, you guys. That's not really a problem. You
right.
know,
It's not a condition. It's just that everybody wants to label stuff as conditions.
the first step in overcoming a problem is to admit you have a problem. This could be a problem that's not actually a problem.
Right, which becomes a problem, just like you said, a problem in and of itself. All the people that are searching to make something into a condition have their own condition.
Ooh.
They have their own thing that needs to be solved, okay? This is just normal human everyday existence, okay? Dr. Bill, this isn't. Sorry, go ahead.
You're onto something. Because here now I'm getting pissed off. I'm getting pissed off. No,
Why are you mad?
I'm getting pissed off because the third part of this affliction is an emotional expression for safety. And the way they describe that is, you know, some people redecorate in order to create an emotionally calming environment. Well, no crap. Who doesn't want an emotionally calming environment?
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Carol. You see, we're on the same page there. Yeah. You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I finally broke away from the ex. I'm going to get my own place. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to paint my bedroom red and I'm going to put pictures of devils all over the walls. And then what I'm going to do is on the ceiling, I'm going to make that look like the earth. I'm going to pretend that I'm in hell.
Frankenberry, are you speaking from experience?
No, I am not. I don't like the color red. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I do kind of like it. But you know what? This is really starting to become BS, because the next one, if you have this affliction, the next way it manifests itself is for mood regulation. So you decorate or constantly redecorate to lift your mood, reduce anxiety, and create a fresh emotional atmosphere.
And
These
what's that's healthy?
Yes,
It's totally
exactly.
freaking
This is
healthy.
stupid.
They did not, they're trying to make it seem like this is a problem when
It's
this is like
not.
reverse psychology.
No.
And I think I can understand why you're upset right now, Johnny, because they sucked you in.
They totally did. And here's the problem.
She skimmed it before she started. Like, oh, let's talk about this. Yeah. And now she's like, this is stupid.
Thank God I have Carolyn Frankenberry.
I totally thought I had this affliction. And now it turns out it's not even a freaking affliction. And I'm pissed off because they're making it sound like I got something wrong with me when I don't. And Lord knows I got plenty of real things wrong with me.
Yeah, we don't need made up things.
Exactly. I was just going to follow that, but you beat me to it. Yeah, you got plenty of crap going on, girlfriend. You don't need to add to the list.
And I'm going to tell you something else. This gets worse. I should report this to somebody because now here's what they did. They did reverse psychology on me. And here's how I know this. Here I am, right? I think, oh, I got an affliction. Let me find out about myself. Let me better myself. I go through the article. I don't have an affliction. Except when I get to the last one, the number 5 clue that you have this affliction, it says influence of social media. So people can be influenced by social media to change up their aesthetic, right? Because they're like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. And the picture, so you guys can't see the picture because we're on radio, the picture that they use to show this has an aesthetic that I would like to have. Now I'm going to figure out. Now I want this. I didn't think I had a problem.
It's total reverse psychology.
And now right. I want them. It was reverse psychology.
They and did now we go back to again to capitalism and marketing. They sucked you in. You fell into the algorithm hole. That's why they're suddenly showing you images of stuff that you would like. So you can break out
are
your wallet at 3 o'clock in
buy?
The morning. Yes, exactly.
I think these people, they should be reported to I don't know who. I don't know. Not the police, because it's not that bad. But wow, they totally sucked me in. You know what else? I'm going to admit this. Maybe this is even a bigger problem.
You're disappointed that you don't have an affliction? Is that what you're going to admit?
Well, kind of. Because that would
Sorry, I was. You almost made me spit up my seltzer.
Oh, love that.
But I did something else stupid. Oh, God. Okay. This, I'll tell you why. This goes back to, remember last week we talked about I was going to do that live event in Westchester, which I did.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, on the Wednesday night. Yeah,
the Wednesday
Civic
night
Center
I
there.
Did that. Right. It was the part of the Megyn Kelly live tour. And I did it. It was great fun. Although I was in my Jimmy Choo's standing up for 8 hours. I could not feel my feet for 2 days. But that aside, so Megan, who I've known Megan for over 20 years, and she's always been in fantastic shape, always. But she's in even more fantastic shape now. And by that, I mean, she is as big as my pinky finger, like zero fat, like zero. And so that made me very self-conscious. So after that event, I went online and I got sucked into that commercial for, you know how everybody's taking the Ozempic and all those shots and all
that. Oh,
stuff.
You talked about this, the micro doses last time. You didn't.
So I didn't do that, but I got sucked into because Dr. Drew backs this website called The Wellness Company, and they were advertising the liquid version that you do not have to inject yourself with, a liquid version of one of these peptides that is supposed to be good for losing weight. And it's also supposed to be good for a lot of other things. It's expensive as heck.
Of Very course expensive. It is.
Right. So
do you need you need a prescription though, don't you?
Well, you would think normally for the peptides that actually work.
No.
You need a prescription. So this, I thought I was going to have to get a prescription, but I ordered it. It was
$1,000.
Jonna.
So then I get it. And then I put the cart before the horse. I went online to look at the reviews to see how people are liking this liquid. Ugh. And they're like, this is crap. It's a scam. Don't go to this website. It doesn't work. You can't possibly
Don't take
work.
It.
So I'm like, I can't take it. I cannot risk putting this in my pie hole.
Thank you.
And this, yes, seriously. And this is all to what? I mean, nothing against Megyn Kelly, but you just said she's like a stick figure. I'm sure if she turns sideways, she can disappear like a magic trick. Why do you want to be like that?
That's what I want.
No, you don't want that. You look absolutely fantastic now, as it is, period, done. That's it.
Word.
Anyway, the moral of that story
that flew right over it, not letting that one stick at all.
That's right. She's stepping aside from that totally.
The moral of the story, first of all,
is that you're gullible.
Read the reviews before. So I don't like, I could do a total Segoo right now, but we're a little bit early to do the Segoo. Because I could say moral of the story is I'm probably the only affliction I'm probably suffering from is low self-esteem. And that's why I talk crap to myself. And maybe I need 40 ways to figure out how not to do that.
Well, well done. I mean, look, you're hitting the segue before the actual segue happens. So that's like a pre-segue. Nicely done.
That was a pre-segue segue. But I don't want to break. I think it's a little too soon to break for our guest. No,
we're close enough. We're close enough. Carol, let's ask Carol. So, Carol, do we need to hear Jonna talk anymore about her being gullible and spending money on crap peptides that don't need a prescription, by the way? So she probably bought them. She doesn't realize this, but they probably get sold at a bodega on a street corner in China,
inside a fake Prada bag,
exactly.
And a Rolex watch.
Yeah. Gary V, who's a brilliant marketer, is saying now you could be making millions doing. I think it's called live selling, like TikTok, and we're like you like QVC, but everybody's their own station.
Oh,
well, I mean, you could have.
Isn't Jonas, that pretty much being an influencer just with a product placement?
Yeah, but you're live and selling stuff, and you could open Jonas' secondhand shop because we know how much stuff gets delivered.
That is a good point.
We have heard multiple times of things you either don't like, never open, forget what they're for. You could do live selling. I'm sure you have like a whole storage unit of stuff you've ordered that you've changed your mind or aren't going to use or don't know what to do with.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you could find a really cool inventive way to use the word thrift as to you reselling this stuff, except expensive thrift.
Can I tell you why she's so quiet right now, Frankenberry? Because she loves the idea and she's taking notes.
Either that or she's just trying to figure out a way to come back at it. She just hasn't done it yet.
It's a fabulous idea. And it's almost like you're in my head because I have a whole, at the office, I have an attic full of clothes that I
Hello.
Have. That's where they go. When they leave Jonna's closet on the river, they go to the attic in Fishkill. And I have yet to figure out a way I don't just want to donate them. I want to like maybe generate some money for a worthy cause, like, you know, everything $5. There's some stuff with tags still on. My most I ordered crap off Amazon. It was crap. And I got, that's another thing I got sucked into because they're doing those. Do you see those things on Facebook where it's like, do you want this look? This is how you can do it on Amazon. And they do a whole big like fashion show. And I'm like, I got to do that. And I did that. And the stuff that I bought was crap and I was going to return it. And now I can't even freaking find it. It's lost in my house and I just got it.
Jonna, I'm onto something. I am onto something for you.
Yes, she certainly is. And Jonna, the actual, and Carol, think about it. What started out as Jonna thinking she had some sort of condition, only to being angered into the fact that she realized she'd been sucked into the fact that it wasn't a condition, we have discovered the actual condition that Jonna has.
Which is?
Oh, my God.
This compulsive buying of crap where she thinks she's got a condition.
Wow.
Well, the compulsive buying could be a thing. That could be a thing. But that's a whole other she could turn it into a second business.
Yes.
Oh, man. I am brilliant. See, that's the kind of stuff you need to say to yourself.
Excellent.
Okay. Thank you.
That was an elevated Segoo.
Yeah, it was.
Number one. And number two, I'm just happy now because I went from having an affliction to not having an affliction to having an affliction again. So I'm happy.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
That's, and a business opportunity.
Exactly.
That's right.
See,
brilliant there.
Oh, Jonna's attic. Frankenberry.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
It's like Filene's attic, right? Didn't some of the bigger stores have like attic? Okay. You're welcome.
Thank
Who's
you.
Our guest?
Okay. Our guest is Katie Krimmer, a licensed clinical social worker with a delightful potty mouth who has written a book called Stuff I Say to Myself, 40 Ways to Ditch the Negative Self-Talk That's Dragging You Down. I cannot wait to talk to her. I'm halfway through the audio version of this book.
And it's not really stuff, but we can't say what it actually is.
Right.
Yeah, we can't say.
Right. You're right. We will let her explain that. Yes.
Maybe
she can help us come up with a better word. But anyway, so that is who we have coming up here. It is Jonna Spilbor. It is Carol Pesci. It is this annoying fellow that they let hang around. And we have Katie Krimmer on the way. So please stick around with Happy Hour.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour here. Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci. As I said earlier in the show, this fella, this annoying guy that they just let, you know, hang around. And time now for our guest. And we've got a very cool guest today, Katie Krimmer, which Jonna is going to joyfully introduce us to.
Yes, I will, because I'm so looking forward to speaking with Katie. Let me tell you a little bit about her. First, though, Katie is a licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist at Union Square Practice in New York City. She's like practically a neighbor, and the founder of Moxie, where she offers self-growth coaching and holistic guidance. You guys know, two out of the three of us on the show love holistic and self-help stuff. Two
and Moxie.
And Moxie. She's known for blending grounded psychology with soul-attuned insight. Katie helps people integrate the wisdom they're uncovering into embodied everyday living, no matter where they are on her path. Her book, which I was drawn to like a moth to a flame because I love the freaking title, is called is called The Stuff I Say to Myself, 40 Ways to Ditch the Negative Self-Talk That's Dragging You Down, which explores the inner dialogue that shapes how we heal, grow, and remember who we really are. Katie Krimmer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Wow, that was a cool bio. I want to know me.
Yeah, right? We all
see, that's the way to talk to yourself, Katie.
That's right. I'm trying to model it right out of the gate. That's right.
I do want to dig into this because you know what, for me, and I did find you by accident, but I think the universe helps me find like-minded souls.
Oh, I believe that. That's right.
And that's how I found you, because the whole premise of our inner dialogues and how we talk to ourselves, I think, is the crux of things that could be holding us back, or it could be the crux of things that propels us forward, right? Depending on if you know how to talk to yourself. So what made you write this particular book?
Yeah. Thank you so much. To me, language is incredibly important, right? Language is the way that we move through our inner world, and it's the way that we move through the world and our dynamics with other people and our environment. And language is energy. Whatever energy we're putting into ourselves, out into the world, out to other people, right, is going to reverberate and going to be reflected back at us, depending on what kind of energy we put out there. And I really find that so much of what I do as a therapist, as a coach, as a guide, is to help people recalibrate the kind of energy that they are putting out there toward themselves and out into the world. And the self-talk piece, right, that's our ongoing inner dialogue. The tones, the words, and the energy behind these thoughts that we have. And it's a mix of conscious beliefs and subconscious conditioning. And it could sound like a critic, or it can sound like a scared child, or it could sound like a coach, or it could sound like a caretaker. But the energy behind the words that we use with ourselves really determines how our behavior is shaped, what it is that we believe about ourselves, how it is that we feel about human beings in our life, what kind of risks we do or don't take. So I wrote this book because I think that human beings really, I know that human beings really, really struggle with the way that they talk to themselves. And there are really, really significant consequences. And if we could help, or if I could help folks shift a little bit of the kind of energy that they create internally, I really know that the kind of outward consequence is really huge and so much bigger than we could possibly even imagine. Yeah. So I think it's just really, really, really important for us to pay attention to the language that we use. It's really powerful.
So two things. I never, ever equated language with energy. And I equate a lot of things with energy. I never connected those two. So I love that. I actually love that. And the second thing is, do you think this is a topic to me that I feel people don't even realize how they are communicating with themselves, other than, all right, you know, everybody has probably woken up one day and said, oh, I look fat, or oh, I hate myself, or why do I always do that? Like, and you might even say that out loud, but what you describe, based on how far I am in your book, it's your thought process. It's not just actually talking to yourself, it's your thought process. And I don't think, how do you get people to realize that maybe they aren't being kind and loving to themselves with their thoughts and their language?
Well, thank you for allowing me to talk about my favorite thing, I think, maybe in this whole world, besides for my dog, which is mindfulness, right? So you're right. We have, as human beings, we have a lot of things that function on autopilot. You know, thankfully, most of us don't have to think about, you know, putting our legs inside a, you know, the leg of a jean as we pull them up. We don't have to think about, you know, what we need to do to brush our teeth in the morning, right? So autopilot in a lot of ways saves us time and energy. But we also have a lot of autopilot with our language and our internal dialogue. You know, we have on average, I mean, anywhere from 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. And that's a lot of thoughts to take as gospel or to listen to and to follow the truth of without questioning how it is that it's impacting us. And so the first step in starting to kind of unlock the power of changing our language is to start to pay attention. So that could mean paying attention to what is the noise inside our mind like when we first wake up. So before you reach for your phone, before you jump out of bed to run to the thing that you have to do for your kids or your dog or your cat or your house, can you choose to take 1 minute and just observe what your inner mind is trying to share with you that morning? And so one of the simplest things we can do throughout our day in general is to pause and to just notice without judgment what that inner dialogue sounds like. Does it sound like something that feels inspiring and nourishing and motivating? Or do we start to notice that maybe it's devaluing? Maybe it's critical, maybe it's catastrophic or catastrophizing, right? So the first thing that I really work with folks on is the simple practice, not easy, but the simple practice of pausing and observing what that inner conversation is like. The other thing that you can pay attention to is kind of the world around you. What kind of relationships do you have? Are you calling in and are you around people who reflect back at you the good, beautiful things about yourself? Or are you noticing that you find yourself in dynamics with people who might reflect something more negative and critical? Are you in a job that you hate? Are you constantly battling whether or not you're acceptable in social situations? You find yourself anxious and bracing. Are you in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn mode? So noticing how does my behavior show up in the world? Because our behavior is often a huge signifier of that conversation that we're having internally. So I would say, you know, there's lots of different little things that we can do, and part of this book is sharing with people what it is that we can do to notice some of these conversations we're having that are negative. But we can start by pausing and observing and making a choice to do that simply because we are curious, even because we're just a little curious. Is there another way to be other than how we are? Yeah.
Katie, can I? This is Carol. I just want to tell you. So I started reading your book yesterday, and I was a jerk to myself twice by 6 a.m. today. And that's being truthful because I was being a jerk. But what you said already started affecting me. I was like, wait a minute. And I stood back, I stepped back, I should say, instead of being the thought and became the observer of the thought. And that was the first step, is what you said, is that
Beautiful.
awareness of what we're saying.
That's right. That's right. And just that's awesome. I love to hear that kind of stuff in real time. It makes me so giddy. You have no idea. I could gush about it. But yeah, that awareness, you know, that's a huge layer to peel back for most human beings is this new truth. What if our thoughts are not inherently facts?
Oh, wait a minute, Katie, because are you saying that, let's say the examples you use, let's say you're in a job that you hate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say you're surrounded by people who are toxic or whatever, not great for you. Are you saying you are in those situations because of the way you communicate with yourself? Or are you saying if you find yourself in those situations, there's a way to talk yourself out of them? Or is it a little of both?
Yeah, what a great question. I'm going to go right out the gate and say both. I think that I have seen the power of changing one's self-talk, both for myself and my own life and the hundreds of people that I've worked with or the many beautiful friends that I have or the humans that I've encountered. And I've seen how when you change your relationship to yourself, because that's ultimately what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're changing the energy of the relationship that you're in with yourself, which I tell folks not to use this word, but I'm going to give myself one pass, which is that should be our most important relationship is with ourself. Right. And if our relationship with ourself is steeped in negativity, we are going to be acting out of, and this kind of opens up maybe a bigger can of worms. So we're going to be acting out of a place of ego, right? The part of us that's designed to keep us safe or seen or in control, the part of us that organizes our sense of identity, who we think we are and how we believe we should show up in the world. So our self-talk is the voice of the ego in motion. It's constantly narrating or predicting or comparing or protecting, right? So this awareness that you brought up, is the more that we exercise it and practice it, the more that we can change our relationship to ourselves so that we don't get run by this conditioned part of our brain and instead connect with like the very, very true essence of who we are, which we cannot hear or feel or see or believe until we get quiet enough, right? To actually spend that meaningful, mindful time with ourselves and to see, wow, am I actually cool with the content of my inner experience? I spend so much time with myself. We all spend so much time with ourselves, right? And so to your question, yes, changing your relationship with yourself will absolutely be mirrored in the way that you start to show up in the world. I really believe in energy. I mean, physics believes in energy. And what we reverberate comes back to us. We see it all the time. Right? If you're feeling more positive about yourself, you might do better in an interview versus if you're going into the interview and you're not practicing healthy self-talk or you're not practicing any mindfulness, right? You might go into it more nervous, more shaky. You might go into it almost kind of telling the other person what they should think about you and that the things they should think about you is that you're not good enough or you're unworthy of that job. So yes, I think it's both. It will absolutely reverberate and you will see the impacts of it in your day to day. And it's something we can practice in real time when we are in these situations to help us get clear on what we actually want and how we actually feel.
Well, I have a challenge for myself now because I'm going to admit something very embarrassing.
Let's
so
do it.
I don't notice always when I'm being negative, communicating negatively to myself. I mean, I do sometimes, but not always. But there is one thing that I say to myself with great frequency over little crap. And every time I do it, I'm like, why do you keep doing that? And then I keep doing it anyway. And here's the phrase. Something small will happen. I can't open a jar. I drop a bottle of perfume because it's slippery and it almost breaks, or just something. I can't get a tack into the wall to hang something up. And I will say to myself, why does everything always have to be so effing hard? And it'll be something small. And I'll notice it, but I haven't stopped saying it. I haven't stopped saying it.
You see, I just tell the pixies to stop messing with me.
That's a good move. That's a good move. You know, we can work with that in real time. What I would ask you to do or invite you to try is that like the pain of the frustration or whatever the emotion that comes up for us in real time is real and it's valid. But our conversation or the meaning that we give to that experience, right, is not always truthful or helpful. And so what I might invite you to do when you can't open that jar or I don't know, I always somehow as I when I walk through like doorways, I always hook myself. I know this isn't just me.
I've done that too.
I'm like, how did I manage, right? How did I manage to walk in such a way that I hooked the tiniest part of me, or I hooked like a bracelet that then breaks, you know? So in that moment, what we can be invited to do that's really different, that will shake up our system, is just to say, oh, there's frustration here, and that's real and that's valid.
So name it and describe it. You talk
That's
about that in
right.
your book.
That's right. That's right. Some people say name it and tame it. What you feel, you can heal. What you resist persists. I didn't come up with those, but they're cute and fun and easily memorized, right? What you feel, you can heal. So a lot of times, I think human beings, we like overcomplicate what it is that we need to do in order to quote unquote fix the problem or, you know, or make ourselves feel better. And instead, what we end up doing is fighting, flighting, freezing, or fawning. We engage in these reactive, evolutionarily sort of predetermined, conditioned ways of responding. And your way of responding in this example is by kind of getting mad at the universe or getting mad at yourself, right? Kind of feeding that frustration that arises for you in that moment. But if we think about how we talk to sweet creatures in our life, whether animals or younger children are often the two main sweet creatures that come up for me. Not that they're always sweet, but you know, they're mostly always sweet. They have a sweetness and innocence about them, right? If a child, a 2-year-old, you know, is walking and bumps into something, right? Our hand goes to their forehead. Hopefully we pull them into a hug. Hopefully we like rub the spot that hurts. Hopefully we say, oh, that does hurt, doesn't it? Right? Or a 4-year-old loses a balloon and they don't understand that they could get another balloon. This won't be the last balloon that they have, right? So hopefully our response to them is to say, wow, it's really hard to lose a balloon. Are you sad? Right. And a little kid will show you how simple this process is. They'll say, yes, I'm sad. Right. And you'll say, yeah, it's okay to be sad. It is sad to lose a balloon. And what happens after is pretty miraculous. They actually move on a lot quicker, right? Than if we try to like, you know, if we get mad at them for staying upset about a balloon, or if we devalue their feeling in that moment and we tell them it's silly, they'll just get another balloon. They shouldn't worry, stop crying, right? And as adults, we take in these early blueprints into our adulthood and they show up in all these funny ways. So my suggestion and invitation to anybody when they're noticing this pattern of negative self-talk come up, can you just honor the feeling that's coming up underneath that? First, yeah, see what happens.
Brilliant.
That is brilliant. And I'm glad now because the next time I run into a child who loses a balloon, I'm not going to say, life is hard. Never going to get
Life is
another
hard, little
gosh
jerk.
darn balloon. And good going for losing your stupid balloon.
Right.
Everything's hard. Everything is hard. So I won't do that.
I'm so glad. I'm glad we helped another child feel validated in this world. We
Yes.
need that. We need
Good
that.
for you. Good for you. Work well done.
Right, in just one session. So I wish we didn't have to go, but I know that you have to get going. This is very valuable. Even the way that you are explaining it makes it just you just kind of want to ease into this whole thing. Like you're your own big warm blanket, and I really appreciate
Oh, I
that.
love
Oh,
that.
what a great way to put it. You have an amazing energy about you, Katie,
Yeah.
honestly.
Thank you
Yes.
so much. That means a lot. I mean, listen, this was so fun. I'm happy to chat more, whether outside of this. You guys just let me know. This is a huge passion of mine. I really am here, I think, in this particular iteration, in this particular form, in this lifetime. I feel that I'm here to help people shift, you know, shift into a kinder, more compassionate relationship with themselves so that they can see in real time they'll see the evidence. The receipts will be there. Like, y'all have my word. Anybody who's listening, if you just start to shift this a little bit at a time. And it is a process and a practice. You know, I've been practicing it myself for over 15 years, you know, and it's not about perfection. It really is about, can I begin to have a little bit of a kinder relationship with myself so that I can see how that starts to reverberate out into the world? I promise you, it will be worth it.
And before we let you go, I just have to let our listeners know this is very special because you are actually based in the Hudson Valley. I know you work in the city, but you're based in the Hudson Valley. So if this is resonating with our listeners, they can get a hold of you at Katie, which is spelled K-A-T-I-E, at moxieworld.co, Moxie, M-O-X-I-E. I urge everyone to get the book that we can't say the full title, but you know we want to. And it's Stuff I Say to Myself, 40 Ways to Ditch the Negative Self-Talk That's Dragging You Down by Katie Krimmer. Katie, this has been fantastic, and we look forward
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Enjoy some good self-talk today, okay? I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Yes, I'll have my self-talk while the cats are hanging out with me. But hey, Jonna, by the way, future reference, butter knife on the top of that jar that you can't open. And second, just do a workaround. If you can't get the pin in the wall or a nail, just take the painting or the picture and lean it up against the wall at the top of your bureau. Just forget about the whole nail totally.
I'll need the picture to cover up my fist hole in the wall.
There you go. That works. All right. Happy hour. Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, this fella, Katie Krimmer, thank you for joining us. And we will be back with segment number 3 on the way.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to happy hour here. Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, this fella. And hello, ladies.
Hello,
Frankenberry. So Katie Krimmer there with some self-talk.
I love her. Huh. Helpful, smart. Like, she makes it sound easy, but in the, like, you know. And I think I wanted to ask her, we were running out of time, and I know the answer to it already, because she mentioned neuroplasticity. So for anybody who's listening and thinking, yeah, but that's just the way I am. That's ingrained in me. We all have the capacity to literally physically rewire our brains through something in science known as neuroplasticity. So no matter if you feel like you've been a Debbie Downer your entire life and you're ready to change that, tired of that, anybody following her advice little by little can do that.
And her book is real. And I just love when people don't, like, obviously from the title of her book, and she's got, you know, she drops some colorful language in there, which I really appreciate. I like that. That's how I learn my stuff. I don't want to be talked to like I'm sitting in a class and I've got a professor who, you know, just knows way more than me at the front of the room. And that's kind of the tone of her book.
So I need your advice now based on what she just said.
Oh,
okay. All right.
So while we were recording the show, I got up and put some eggs on because I eat a hard boiled egg. That's what I eat during the day, during the week, and let it boil for a good hour.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if anybody knows what color a hard boiled egg becomes when you cook it for an hour.
Green.
Green, yay, winner. Yes. Yeah, so normally I would call myself an a-hole for doing something dumb like that and forgetting that the eggs are on the stove. So I'm stepping back and using the awareness that calling myself an a-hole is not going to be helpful. So what should I say instead?
Knucklehead.
Oh, no. The pause. You're both like, you are an a-hole.
No, here's what you should do. Reframe it. Say, oh, okay. I'm the luckiest girl in the world that I didn't burn down my whole entire freaking house.
You beat me to it.
On the stove for me.
Yes, because I have done the same thing. And I've said, why is there no more water in that pot? And why is
it was getting close?
Right. Why do I hear things popping in my kitchen? Because that's when, you know, when the eggs start blowing up because there's no water left.
Okay. All right. And I was smart when I went shopping yesterday and bought extra eggs. So there's that.
Well, you see, there you go. You have covered yourself for the unintended maneuver that you made.
Maneuver. Oh, Frankie Berry, I'm going to even use that word in the future. Well, that was an interesting maneuver.
No, unintended maneuver.
That's right. That's
Ooh, I like it. All right, here comes batch number two. Perfectly timed.
All right, there you go. Now, and also go get yourself a paintbrush and assorted colors and turn that egg into something beautiful.
Good idea. Good idea.
All right. Well, thank God Carol didn't burn down her house. And thank you to Katie Krimmer for joining us today.
Yeah.
And thank God Jonas Spillborn went from having a syndrome to not having a syndrome to having another syndrome, because now the world is put back in order.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nicely done. We're going to end on that with a ba-dum boom.
All right.
Happy Hour, back again next week. Jonas Spillborn, Carol Pesci, and this fella. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Spillborn and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 92.9WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM. Yeah.